from Colossians chapter 1, just 5 verses 15 to 20. The supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. Let's just still ourselves for a word of prayer. Lord, we just ask that in this time of reflection together that you might speak into our hearts and minds, that we might be better equipped to live for you, Lord. Amen. Romans 12, verse 1, in the Message version of the Bible, reads this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. If you've been around Christchurch for a while, then this verse should strike a chord. Not because it's been quoted often, it hasn't particularly, but because it sums up our heart's desire to see faith lived out every day, everywhere, by everyone who claims the name of Christ. All of life, not just part of life, belonging to God. Reminded that all of life matters. And this term, we're taking time to think some more about our everyday ordinary lives, our sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around lives, and thinking about how those lives might be productive and fruitful in God's economy. Building on what's gone before from our series looking at life on the front lines, we're now looking at fruitfulness on the front lines. LICC, who produce lots of the materials that we've been working with, and it's been informing our vision for the church, recognise that we spend maybe up to about 10 hours gathered together, involved in churchy-type activity, whether it be services or home groups or volunteering with different aspects of church life. But actually, we spend a further 110 waking hours out there in the world, in the community, in our workplaces, at a lunch club, playing sport, whatever it might be. And if we're to live our whole lives for God, we need to see that God's mission is about all things and not just some things. And so we're called to make a difference where we are, whether that be the sports club or the gym, in our workplace, with our families, at the pub or in the park. I love the story that Mark Green tells in his book, which goes with this series, called Fruitfulness on the Frontline. Some of the home groups are working with this over this coming term, and I would encourage you to get hold of a copy. I think there's one or two, hopefully, at the back in the library. We'll certainly make some more available. And he tells a story of when he was praying the Lord's Prayer with his 9-year-old daughter, something that he would do regularly in the evening. And he was really struck by that phrase in the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." And he says this, "It is a prayer that is global in its scope, that God's will would be done on earth as God's will is done in heaven. It's a prayer that says, your will be done in my church and in the local council, in the cell group and in the swimming pool, in the Sunday school and in the school, in the soup kitchen and in the hospital, in the factory and the queue for the checkout. Nothing is left out. But what would this mean to my 9-year-old daughter? Not very much, I concluded. So from time to time, we'd pray it differently. Your kingdom come, your will be done, in my school, as in heaven. In my classroom, as in heaven. In my ballet class, as in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and in the bit of the earth you've placed me in my street, in my town, on my front line. That spoke powerfully to me, and it's a reminder of what it's all about. Your will be done on the cricket field as in heaven, at the pub as in heaven, in our homes when we're having a slight dispute with our partner or our children as in heaven. And to enable us to explore what it means to live fruitful lives on our front lines, as I say, we're using this small group material and DVD, and we'll be showing excerpts from the DVD, no doubt, on several weeks during the time ahead. Under six main headings, all conveniently beginning with the letter M. And so we'll be considering these topics: modelling godly character, making good work, ministering grace and love, moulding culture, being a mouthpiece for truth and justice, and being a messenger of the gospel. All that in the weeks to come. Hugely practical, and hopefully equipping us to live for God and make a difference in the everyday. But if you're anything like me, you find that sometimes you get so caught up in the sheer busyness of the day-to-day, in the fine detail of your own lives, that you get lost. You lose sight of the overall inspiration and purpose. We focus in on the minutiae of our own situation and lose sight of the big picture. We use that phrase, don't we? Can't see the wood for the trees. No doubt many of you have seen these sort of close-up images where you have to look at a very close-up, zoomed-in picture and decide what it might be. So here's an opportunity, or have we missed them? I think we're a few slides further forward. Can we go back to the images, please? Slide 5. No? Okay, keep going forward then. Go the other way. There should be some of a close-up image of an item. Keep going. One, maybe two more. Keep going. There you go. Okay, what do you think that might be? That's a close-up of something, an everyday item. Any ideas? Cards, felts. Okay, let's see what it actually is. Next one. Now you see it. Let's go on to another one. We've got three of these. What do you think this next one is? Stapler. Okay, what is it? It's actually... I got part of a helicopter. You wouldn't have got that one, would you? And one more. One more. Any ideas? He's got it straight away. Well done, Simon. It is a fire extinguisher. There you go, the clip at the top. But you see, we needed... Okay, Simon got that one very quickly. But we needed to actually zoom out to actually get the big picture of what it's all about. And I think this passage that we're looking at this morning, Colossians 1, 15 to 20, which I'm not going to say very much about, actually helps us to zoom out and think about God and what he has done for us and what actually inspires us and motivates us. Because over the next few weeks, we'll talk a lot about different aspects of life and how we might bear fruit in specific situations. But before we rush in headlong, we'll look at this big picture. And so, Paul, writing to the church in Colossae, he pans out from the detail of living godly lives on the front line to the greatness of the God we worship and seek to serve. And if we get a better grasp of the sheer awesomeness of God and of his Son, whose life and death and resurrection we celebrate, we'll be a lot more motivated to place the different aspects of our lives before God as an offering. And that'll be true for times when we're gathered together, when we're meeting in our small groups, in triads, in Sunday worship, and also when we're scattered to our homes and our streets and our workplaces and our clubs, when we're engaging with people who may not know God. And in these verses, we're reminded that all things matter to God. because the work of Jesus has changed things for everything and for everyone. We're told there's nothing he didn't create, nothing that he doesn't hold together, nothing that will not be made complete in him. In verse 18, Paul speaks of Jesus having the first place in all things. And so with this overarching perspective on life in God's world, everything matters, the whole of life. And so we strive to honour him in the whole of life. I could say a lot more about this passage because it's a fantastic, inspiring and quite awesome passage. But actually, I think it's probably best if we just allow the passage to speak to us. So I just want to read it twice more, fairly slowly, and just give us the opportunity to reflect on the magnitude of what Paul is writing about God and about what Jesus has done for us. But as we do so, I'd encourage us to be thinking, what does this actually mean to me? How does it actually relate to my life day by day? Because it's such a zoomed out picture, it's sort of out here somewhere. And we have to apply it to our tiny lives down here. And so let's ask that God might speak to us as we hear these words once more. And it may be that a particular phrase, an individual phrase, or even a word really strikes you. But just hold on to it and allow God to speak. So Colossians 1, 15-20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Read it one final time. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. If we'd had time, it would have been great just to sort of hear back some of the things perhaps that really struck you. I haven't quite got time to do that, but maybe if there is a phrase, a sentence, a word that struck you, you might like to just turn to your neighbour and just mention what that is, just for a few moments. So just turn towards each other. Was there something in particular that struck you, and how did it connect with your life on the front line? Just briefly turning to one another. Okay, I'm just going to lead us in a prayer, and then we're going to sing. God in my living, there in my breathing. God in my waking, God in my sleeping. God in my resting, there in my working. God in my thinking, God in my speaking. Be my everything, because that sums up the sort of working out of all these things. Lord, we thank you for times when we're able to gather together, times of celebration, times of reflection, times of sharing. We pray, Lord God, that these times might really equip us to make a difference where we are, to be fruitful in the places you've called us to serve. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.